Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this.
Right.
Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America.
Right.
But when did America ever bless God?
Right.
You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America
right.
at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You some bitches get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power. Black power. And more black power to my people. This is your brother. Soldier in arms, a comrade in battle with you, Sean Kwali. I'm broadcasting live once again to you from the hills and the smells of North America. And as always, we count it an esteem, privilege, a joy, and an honor to be talking to you from this platform and this privilege that we have and we give called Black Power Radio. And as always, we never, ever invite you on this radio broadcast to waste your time. But we always bring you on the broadcast to let you know what time it is. It is also my privilege to extend to you, the listening audience, the radio listening audience, the greetings of Black Power and Assalamu Alaikum and Hotep and peace. From our national chairman, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, it is an honor to extend those to you for those who it is your first time listening. Maybe it's your second time listening, even your third time listening, or if you're a long-time veteran listener to Black Power Radio, it's an honor and a privilege. We have a power-packed show and presentation tonight. And as always, whenever we have guests on this show, you know this isn't no horse and pony show. You know we don't come to give you no soap opera mess, no Jerry Springer mess, or no television mess. We come to give you the truth, and we come to bring it in the spirit of a beautiful, bold, bald-headed black man who was 100% black man and definitely the black power general, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. And so we have a brother on with us tonight, one who served as his personal assistant, and that ain't no lightweight thing, a personal assistant, served as his national assistant, and ultimately served as his national chief of staff. We're talking about and talking to, and we're going to waste no time at all, talking about and talking to our dear brother, comrade, struggling in this battle, who's going to be giving you the lecture tonight entitled The Revolutionary in the Mirror. I'm talking about our big brother and comrade. We're talking about Minister Hashim Nzinga. Black power, sir.
Black power, Brother Sean. It's a privilege and an honor to be on Black Power Radio. Let me say to the host, you, Brother Sean, and our national spokesman here in the New Black Panther Party, it's good to hear your voice, and it's very, very, very enlightening to tune into the show every weekend. And see you putting revolution and keeping revolutionary listeners with something to listen to that's revolutionary. Let me say this. Yes, sir. Let me say this first, brother. I want to give thanks to my mentor, my leader, and our beloved brother who put us on this path, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad. And let me say to my friend and my comrade and my big brother and our chairman of the New Black Panther Party, Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, all power to the people and black power. And we really love his dedication to keeping us focused and keeping us on the mission of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad, which came from a long line of divine leaders and teachers, as we know. And it's a lot on my heart tonight, because just remembering the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad, it puts a lot on my heart knowing that soon he will be spiritually gone from us for 10 years. And if he was with us now, he would be 63 years old. So to the listening audience and to all the rest of our beloved brothers and sisters in the New Black Panther Party and our extended family that's in the Black Power movement and our supporters and others, I want to say tonight, topic, the revolutionary in the mirror, is something that we have to come to truth with sometime. And dealing with this topic, we have to understand, if we're going to look at the revolutionary in the moment, in the mirror, excuse me, brother, we have to realize that we're going through some serious changes in the world today, globally, locally, and here in the hells of America. You know, it's not popular to be a revolutionary no more. You know, we're in a minefield out here as revolutionaries, because, you know, the babies of the revolution that has grown up now and has to stand up now, we have to come to the realization that not many people want to talk black liberation no more. Not many people want to talk African culture. Not many people want to hear about a black power movement. No one sees the purpose now, liberation struggle, building an institution or a restoring black culture, because this society with its TV and its internet and its Twitter and its Facebooks have put us in la-la land. And we got a BMW here and a degree in college here and a big brick house here with a couple of garage door openers and a couple of flat screen TVs and a couple of those new big refrigerator ice boxes and kitchens. And we think we have become a piece of this American pie, I guess. And we don't teach our children red, black, and green no more. We don't teach them about the land, the blood, and the people. You know, we teach them that we made it. And this goes out, and now it's picked up like a disease. So when a revolutionary stands up and comes on the scene, he seems out of place. You know, and I would tell all our listening audience, you know, Nelson Mandela spent 27 years in a prison in South Africa, and he wrote a book, and the title of the book was A Long Walk to Freedom. And I would tell all our listening audience out here in Black Power Radio to pick up that book and read the chapter called Birth of a Freedom Fighter. Birth of a Freedom Fighter made Mandela understand, just because he was an attorney, just because he was doing pretty good, that until he used that knowledge to go and save his people, that knowledge was worthless. And that's why I appreciate our national chairman as an attorney at law, with all that wisdom that he gathered over the years at Howard University and the law room and in the courtroom and under Dr. Khalid Muhammad and others, that he continues on the path of helping us free our people and set the guidelines and the plan. But the plan can't be worked, Brother Sean, until we sit down at the table and we start doing an overview, because now we've been at this for 20 years, the New Black Panther Party. We've been speaking the truth and being on the front of all the liberation and black theology and revolution for 20 years. And we got to now do an overview of the revolutionary in the mirror. And what I mean by that, brother, is people want us to think, and they want to say to us that we're not important, that what are we doing? We just publicity stunt. We just, you hear all kinds of things when you hear about the new Black Panther Party. But Dr. Khalid Muhammad used to say, you heard about me, but you ain't basically heard from me. But I want to talk to the revolutionary that's in the mirror tonight, because for 4 months I've been basically in the closet regathering and looking at the work of 20 years and thinking about Dr. Khalid Muhammad and thinking about this group called the New Black Panther Party and what we became and what we're becoming and the work we have done and how we're underappreciated and how most revolutionaries are never given their props while they're living and how most revolutionaries' families suffer and how revolutionaries die broke. And so tonight we're going to talk about how we need to stay focused and how we not need to be sidetracked and how we don't need to get caught up in the sensationalism and get caught up into the hype where we think if we're not at the ballroom with a gown on or we're not at the game downtown or at the big concert or all of these places where they got us spending so much of our money and our time and messing up our baby's mind that we're not in the in crowd. And these cities, you know, if you ain't got no bling bling and you ain't wearing the right jeans, the right tennis shoes that match and the right hat, you ain't got the right rims and right car, that something's wrong with you. And so the revolutionary in the mirror got to understand now that we got to recommit. And we got to understand that we have victories and we have achievements that we need to talk about from a fundamental perspective, a simple perspective. But the first thing, Brother Sean, as I've been going around the country for many, many years now, over 23 years, I run into a lot of Panthers that are now ex-Panthers, and I run into a lot of people that used to be in the NAACP, they used to be in the SCLC, they used to be in the Nation of Islam, they used to be in this group. And our people talk so damn negative when they leave organizations and when they leave with a bitter taste in their mouth. And they can make somebody think that being in a black organization is the worst thing in the world. But let's look at this. Let's look at what we've done. And let's look at how we can make our people understand that it might not be the organization. It may be you. It may be the revolutionary in the mirror that need a checkup, as they used to say, from the neck up. But fundamentally what I'm talking about is most of the time when somebody comes in the new Black Panther Party, our process is to take an application from them. And in that application, we ask for other organizations that the brother or the sister has been in. We ask that for a reason. And in most cases, Brother Sean, if you would get that application and look at that application and you would read about the organization that that person has left, and if you would call and do a follow-up and ask why this sister left the organization or why this brother left the organization, you might find out a lot of truth and why you got problems in your organization. Because some people are just messy, and they go from organization to organization to organization, starting nigger mess, as Dr. Khalid used to say. And I know in his last lecture in Harlem, New York, in 2001, he said enough Negro stuff. Revolution is the only solution. And that's true 10 years later. And what I'm saying, brother, after you sit these brothers and sisters down and we ask them, why did you leave this organization? They'll start telling you. And before talking to them 20, 30, 40 minutes, an hour, they've been done realizing, you've been done realizing the conversation a lot of times, not all the way, always, but a lot of times, that person you're talking to is the problem and was the problem, and the damn organization should have probably put them out. Because, brother, we are a people that are dysfunctional. And we're dysfunctional for some good reason. But we want to always put our problems on the next man or the next woman or the next group. And we're going to have to stop doing that if our babies are going to survive this mess. We have to stop being quitters. We have to stop turning and going different directions so damn fast. We're going to have to, as they say, don't worry about the grass that's green on the other side. Fertilize, dig up, plant, and water your yard. Because as you jump from yard to yard to yard, you're going to find the same problems. You understand, brother? And,
yes, sir.
And the questions that we're going to deal with. And I got a list of questions that we have to talk about tonight. If the revolutionary fraction going to survive the attack of the FBI, the CIA, the COINTELPRO that still goes on. That's why Sister Shakir wrote a book called The Evolution of a Revolutionary. That means we are growing. We are improving. We should be getting better each year. We should be understanding our mission and ourselves better. As Attorney Malik Gulu-Shabazz and the National and the National Central Committee and the different ministers around the country put this structure in place that has lasted 20 years and that is still going to the cause of saving our people and defending our people and standing up for our people all over the world and all over the country. We have to ask ourselves some questions before we let infiltrators and the white man destroy such an organization that has such strength, such potentials, and has done so much good work. First thing we have to do is understand our value. I'm talking to the Panther members now that may be discouraged, may be down, may be having somebody in your ear talking negative about revolution. First thing we have to do, we have to deal with truth. We have to deal with spiritual grounding ourselves and understanding we have to have faith. Faith, they say, is something that is unseen, but you believe in it. We have to challenge ourselves on understanding we have to become what Maya is considered balance. We have to understand why we continue to fight for African culture and Pan-Africanism. And we have to be self-determined to let nobody turn us around from that struggle, because that struggle is life. When we struggle for our ancestors and we stress to our people Pan-Africanism and Africanism, we're making our children who they really are, and we're taking them out of this falsehood. We got to understand what the real word liberation means, what it really means to be free in the mind. And that automatically strengthens our African community, brother. We got to understand that we have to understand this, and this is a big one, brother. We have to understand economic self-reliance. That frees you. Economic self-reliance frees you. We have to deal with economics. But mainly, we have to be committed again. We got to be committed people to the struggle. We got to understand that we are the last team standing on the strength of liberation from an African perspective, that does it in the way we do it, that in one sense booted and suited, one sense a military army, another sense we send the Black Lawyers for Justice, next time we send the Black Power Movement, how we go around and do these national Black Power conferences and bring all our people together from different backgrounds. Ain't nobody doing that no more the way we do it, brother. Nobody getting on these radio shows calling it nothing black. You know, we want to be fancy and compete with BET and all of these fancy shows. Nobody just getting on these radio stations no more, man, talking about what we're talking about. So we got to understand the commitment of radio, of the website, of the newspaper, of when we have a Facebook, have a revolutionary Facebook, when we're tweeting, tweet revolutionary work and stop the nigger mess. Once again, we got to be committed people so we can understand that the victory is at hand, and the victory and our achievements for 20 years have already succeeded many, many black organizations. We just don't even know how to tell our own story. We don't even know how to give ourselves a pat on the back because we're so busy worrying about what's going on across the street. But when you come from a tree that got deep roots and you're a branch of that tree, understand the tree that you come from and talk about the tree that you come from and don't worry about the tree that's leaning across the street. We got to understand, brother, that there's going to be conflict in the organization. We got to understand how to reconciliate, sit down, and work out our problems, man, among each other. Like Malcolm X said and should have followed his own teaching, sometimes we have to go in the closet, and if we don't agree, come out with a common front for our enemy won't see our weakness. We got to go back and deal with our children's transformation. So we got to go back with these young black brothers, 11, 12, 13, out here getting shot and killed, think they're grown. We got to go back to rites of passages where our young sisters out here, 11, 10, 9, 13, think they grown out here with thongs up their butt, think they butt and their behind and their breast are what should lead. And we got to understand that we are religious people, brother. I don't care if you're Muslim, Christian, black, Hebrew, Jew, if you deal with Buddhism, Hindu, whatever you deal with, understand all of that comes from our ancestors. All of that comes from a tradition of Mayat and Yoruba. And all of that is African culture, regardless of where you get it from. So, brother, tonight, we just need to get down to business and talk about the future and the way that our chairman has shaped this organization so it could survive the storm that we knew was coming, survive the hypocrites that we knew were coming, survive the envy that we knew was coming. Our big brother, Dr. Khalid Muhammad, was shot down like a dog in Riverside, California. He was took before the Senate. They tried to silence him. So what they do to your father, they're going to do to you. They infiltrated the original party, broke it apart, killed off members, caused conflict among members, chased people out of the country. We got brothers locked behind bars right now that the new Black Panther Party is committed to fighting for political president. Ain't many groups out there doing that anymore. So when we're talking about this topic, looking at the revolutionary in the mirror tonight, Brother Sean, we're basically talking about celebrating who we are, celebrating what we have already brought to the table, and then grow on that. We got to understand we have a wealth of knowledge in this organization. All over the world, we got a wealth of people who are waiting in the wings to come into this organization and who are listening to us tonight and who are on our website, who are reading some of our New Black Panther papers, who are talking to other members and members that are listening. You have to understand that you represent this organization and you are the first thing that people see. And from what you say and what you do, bring in new members. What you say and what you do either can make this organization fall or rise because we're only strong as our weakest link. So tonight, as we look at the revolutionary in the mirror, we got to challenge ourselves to be a better sister, to be a better brother. When the sun rises in the morning, to understand the faults of this party, we can correct them. Understand that this party can only be what you bring to the table. Don't worry about what Brother Sean is bringing to the table. Don't worry about Brother Hashim bringing to the table. You bring your best to the table because everybody's position and everybody's opinion counts. But you be sure that you are well studied. You be sure that you put time into what you're saying. You be sure you speak truth into the mouth. You examine yourself and understand when you're talking liberation, and freedom of our people. It's a serious topic. And I'm dealing with a lot now because a lot of our brothers feel they're helpless out here, man, and they're oppressed, and they're stressed, and they're struggling, brother, and a lot of them are almost giving up. Freedom fighters don't give up, man. We fight from the cradle to the grave. And, brother, in our best interest, we have to go back, and we have to understand the theology that came from Egypt. All our people had in the beginning was land, and then they say it was given light and a darkness. Then it say it was given water. Then it was given trees and plants and animals. So we need to stop saying we're homeless. As long as you're on God's land, anywhere on God's land, and there's trees, there's plants, there's water, there's animals, there's fruit, there's vegetables, you use the land and the animals like Jesus, the black nappy-headed Messiah did, and like our people before us did, and stop getting caught up in such sensationalism that you think if you ain't got a mansion with a four-car garage that you hadn't made it. The freedom comes, brother, in the revolutionary that looks in the mirror. The freedom comes in the mind, and then everything follows. And don't ever get to the point where you think you can't be redeemed. You can't be redeemed. You can't start fresh and make up for lost time. You can't start fresh and be better tomorrow than you was yesterday. And don't let nobody tell you as a revolutionary that you're wasting your time messing with that nigga mess. Why are you over there messing with those, man, ain't nobody doing that no more. You're out of your mind. We're suffering because we left the Black Power Movement. We're suffering because we left black. Everybody in this world of social change used their history and used their culture to be their guideline, I mean their guide to where they're going. And like I said in your last show a couple of months ago, brother, the Jews say they'll never forget, and we say we'll never remember. And so we have to go back, brother, and we have to look in that mirror and understand our personalities, and we have to understand our focus. And we got to understand that we can't let Mark Clark and Fred Hampton and many others death and the sabotage and the way they were set up, let them die in vain. We can't let J. Edgar Hoover and all the COINTELPRO he pulled off among our people and the CIA killing Patrice Lumumba. We can't sit around as revolutionaries and let that go unchecked. The only way we're going to free our people, brother, is these things we talked about tonight, and we're going to open up the line in a minute, but these things we're talking about tonight, brother, and I'll go back over some on spiritual grounding and challenging ourselves with our children and doing better by our elders and our ancestors and really being Pan-African and putting African culture back on the map and understanding the strength of an African community, brother. That means everybody eat. That means nobody's homeless. Nobody goes without because we pull together, brother. And then liberation comes, you know, and we talked and we mentioned economic self-reliance. Well, we got to get out here and get jobs and create jobs, and we got to keep moving, and we can't get so depressed that we think that even think about the word, brother, giving up. And we got to understand that we have to stop and give ourselves credit for our victories and achievements once again. And but mainly out of all the things I say, brother, we got to be a committed people to the fundamentals of the rites of passage of transforming our kids, our children, and making sure that they understand what the power movement is, and that when we leave here, they won't give up and they will continue it, and they will look at this tree and understand this tree is not leaning because it got good roots and it's on a good foundation, because we are at the end, the beginning and the end. The oldest remaining, the geologists and all the anthropologists and all of these people find is a black woman in Tanzania. Black woman gave birth to this, brother. And we can never stop teaching this, and we can never stop fighting this revolutionary. So tonight, I am so proud to be a member of the new Black Panther Party. I am so proud in looking at the vision from the third eye, not the two eyes in my head, but my mind and your mind, brother, and the sister's mind, and knowing in our mind how far we could really go with this. We were just babies when we started this, and now we're grown up and we're standing up, and our strength and our commitment hadn't changed, but we just got to learn how to deliver our story to our people. Our enemy understand as well. That's why they attack us at every turn and split us up at every turn. We can't be polarized into some fools wearing berets out in front of some building shouting black power. No, we're bigger than that. The image of the New Black Panther Party is the image, to some people around the world, is the image of change. And we got to understand, people appreciate our work. They appreciate Attorney Malik Zulu-Shabazz's leadership and his commitment. And when they turn on O'Reilly or Hannity and Cohn or Geraldo, and they pick up the Washington Post and they pick up the Atlanta Journal-Constitution or one of these publications, and they see us fighting on the front line, or they see our chairman fighting the enemy head on and stumping them into the ground, brother, that give us hope that we hadn't lost our mind. That we understand that we come a long way, but we got a long way to go. And we have given up too much ground trying to act like our oppressor, trying to be like our oppressor, trying to talk like our oppressor, trying to act like this American dream is ours. So, brother, tonight, I challenge all the brothers and sisters in the listening audience to not worry about the brother across the street or the sister across the street. Look in the mirror and judge yourself. And when you judge yourself critically. Then work with your family. Work with your children. Work with your wife. Work with your husband. Work with your organization. Work with your leadership. And make sure you bring your A game to the table. Forgive those who have did you wrong. Forgive those for they sin who you have malice and hate and envy for, because that will kill you inside. You go to your brothers and sisters and say, I forgive you. And then the brothers and sisters that have done something to you, they should come back and return and make their deeds good. And I'm saying, brother, let's understand that if we are going to survive and our organization is going to survive, we have to pull together. We have to understand that we're a very important piece of the puzzle in Africa, in Black America, all over the world. And if this piece of the puzzle is missing, hundreds of millions will suffer in the future. So when I talked about Nelson Mandela, the birth of a freedom fighter, we have to go back to that mirror and find that freedom fighter in us and rebirth that freedom fighter. Because, brother, this is a struggle, this is a fight, and this is a battlefield. And we can't lose anywhere. We can't lose in the environment. We can't lose in what we're eating. We can't lose in the way we're thinking. We can't lose in the way we spend our money. We can't afford to lose in the way we teach our babies. We can't lose in the way we fight, because we are the majority in this world. And if we could turn our young people around and facing the right direction, we don't have to suffer like we're suffering. We don't have to continue the Black American clown show where every 15 minutes they have to show some black kid on the news killing somebody, some black person being arrested, some black person being a bank robber, some black person abusing their spouse, some divorce case, some child getting neglected, some child getting raped by us. It's our job to set the standard so high that we will be scared to do something in our community, to our people. I was looking at a piece before we bring the listeners in, if there's any questions. I was looking at a piece that the cracker done, Michael, I forgot his last name, but he did a piece on these white kids killing each other in these schools and chaining up the schools and doing the mass murders. And he taught in that piece that the reason America is so violent is after they freed the slaves and after the blacks became free and was able to own guns, that out of fear, white people stocked up on guns. And white people, ever since, been using the black male especially to sell out Walmart with weapons. If something happened, it's always fearful of the black man, because the white man has always built a secret army from the Klan to others to destroy the black man. And when you destroy the black man, you destroy the black family, because the black man is supposed to be the protector and the provider. And when you take him out the picture, you got a free reign at the black woman and the black child. So as we look in that revolutionary mirror, we got to put the black man back on the square. We got to stand him back up. We got to make him go back on his knees and clean out his temple. We got to make him understand that he's important. And the black man then got to make sure the black queen understand that she is the queen and she is to be respected. And she's carried the load in a lot of cases, and we have to relieve her of that, some of that duty. And we have to focus then back on the children and build them strong and let them see strong relationships, let them see strong structures in the family. And then we have to educate them right from the crib so we could walk tall. And these are all the missions that's in our manual as new Black Panther members. Just broke down in a different way tonight, in a lighter manner, but a very important way. As revolutionaries, we have to understand that the world is dependent on us. We can't look in the mirror and see some peon, see somebody that's not worthy of being mentioned, see somebody who has neglected their duties. We have to look in that mirror and see somebody who's making a difference, who's writing that new book, who's becoming a vegan, who's becoming a vegetarian, who's planting a garden, who's cleaning up the environment, who's teaching our kids not to bully each other, who's teaching our kids what self-hatred is, who's teaching us not to be so damn dysfunctional. We have to be that person in that revolutionary in the mirror who hear nigger mess and stop it at the coffee table. Stop it right there in the place of business. Stop it right there in the car with our own family. We are responsible for the change that can make our ancestors happy. We have to take better care of our youth, better care of our elders. Now, as far as the Black Panther Party, new Black Panther Party is concerned, we have to all recommit to studying the manual, to emailing the chairman, and emailing our chairmen in our cities that we're ready to recommit to this revolutionary fight and not play with it and value our work. Because the strength in us is the strength in us as individuals. Then when we bring it all together, then we're a community of liberation and freedom fighters. So tonight, brother, I just send out the spiritual message that it's time. It's time to report to duty. It's time to stand up. It's time to make sure you're not the weak link in the chain. It's time for you to understand that for 20 years we have built this foundation. Now it's time for this foundation to have a building put on it. It's strong enough to hold a building now. But the building is the people that we're talking to out there in the listening audience, from a panther who just joined yesterday to the people in the Black Power Movement. We're all important, and we need to start getting on the same page and understanding that everybody has to pull their weight. Brother Sean, with that, if you have any questions first, or if there's any questions in the listening audience, we'll take them. If it's not, we'll keep rolling.
Okay, yes, sir. I have a call on hand. 864-226, you're on the air with the National Chief of Staff, Hashim Nzinga, Black Power.
Brother.
Black Power, how are you, sir? Go right ahead.
Okay. Is Brother Hashim Nzinga on the line?
Yes, I am.
All right. Nice speaking to you, sir. I wanted to speak to you for quite a while. I'm not going to plug myself, but I have a website that you've probably looked at, but never mind all of that. I awarded the first, just mention one of the greatest experiences of my life, and that was at the Million Man March. And it involved not me personally knowing Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. I think his middle name is Abdul. You can, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. But
you're right.
One of the most amazing scenes that I have ever seen. I was so proud just to be there. But I remember seeing just like a sea of black men, strong black men. They were coming. Everybody say, "All right, move apart. You remember how the spirit of that day was? Move apart." And they were walking. My guess was they were through Islam. And I was like, wow, look at that. I mean, look, that's beautiful. I mean, like an army. Like, you know, when the Russians or North Koreans march or whatnot. I was like, wow, that's the black man at their best. And then right there in the middle, I looked. I was like, oh, my God, that's Khalid Muhammad. And I remember I was standing about, I don't know, maybe 15 feet away from him, so I didn't think that he would hear this, but brother, I remember yelling at the top of my voice, "Black Power, Dr. Khalid." He looked over my way, and in the midst of all those people, he looked over my way, smiled, and he put up a fist and pointed it my way. Brother, I tell you what, at that moment, I tell people this all the time, I had to be the proudest black man in that whole seat, because I'd seen the brother up on Donahue and all of that, but just seeing him on there and seeing the respect that he had with that ocean, he had an army around him, and knowing that you knew him personally, and Brother Malik Shabazz knew him personally and all, I just wanted to say that it is an honor and privilege just to be here and speak with you. And I'll just very quickly ask you a question that I've wondered about. And that question is as follows. The Black Panther Party, or New Black Panther Party, excuse me, you all do it very exemplary work out in the street. I mean, you show up and you show strength. Everybody, it's not like I don't like to talk about it, but y'all, you know what I'm saying is true. If the NAACP is showing up somewhere, I mean, that's not a threat to anyone. And when I say threat, they're not physical or anything. But New Black Panther Party, people are like, hey, look, you know, there's a whole different feel, spirituality, so forth and so on. But this is a question I wanted to ask you, bro. Is the philosophy more akin to the idea that black people are on the Titanic? Yeah, we are. I think any black person who disagrees with that is insane with the debt this country is in and so forth and so on, you know. But we're on the Titanic. The Titanic is full of water. Some black people will clown and coon until the ship is full of water and drown. And that's akin to the people on the Titanic being in the casino and somebody saying, "Hey, yo, look, there's a little bit of water. They don't know it's gonna sink. There's a little bit. There's water rising. Oh, everything's gonna be fine." You know, I talk to people on Blog Talk like that all the time. But brother, what I wanted to ask you is this: do you believe that as a member of the New Black Panther Party that it is more wise to talk those sorts of people who hear the warning that you and all of the voices are putting out there, do you think it's more wise to just accept the fact that not everyone is going to be saved and that people who already know what time it is and that you don't have to beg and plead to listen at what time it is, do you believe it's better to focus all of your energies into getting them to consolidate and get more powerful, and because quantity doesn't have as much value as quality? Or do you think that it's better to risk, because of the love that we have of our people, to stay as long as we can, even with the Titanic sinking, to try to get those people who are hard-headed and don't want to listen to what time it is and to what they need to do to adjust to the times? And I'll just sit back and listen to your response. But, brother,
let me say this, brother. One thing you said before, and I'll answer your question. But what is your name, brother?
I'll just put it like this. I have a web. I don't want to plug that.
To plug your website if your website can help out people.
I'm the author of a website called the Underground Railroad Tribal Alliance.
The Underground Railroad.
Uh-huh.
And what else?
A Tribal Alliance.
Oh, yeah, I know that one.
Yeah, it read worldwide, man. But I didn't call the purpose for, I didn't call in for the purpose of plugging the site or anything like that.
No, but let me just say this. Black Power Radio is about brothers like you. Anybody got something they call Underground Railroad, we need to hear about it because, you know, there's so many radio shows plugging how to go get this new sweater that's made by Liz Taylor, you know.
Okay.
First of all, I was with Dr. Collett during the Million Man March. I flew into the city with him. I stayed in the hotel with him. And that day was an outstanding day. And it was probably one of the greatest days in black history.
That's the best day of my life, bro.
But it was a very, 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 very emotional day for me. I was a young man. And I had the honor and the privilege to be with Dr. Khalid Muhammad, me and Attorney Shabazz that day, walking through that mall, looking at all those black men. But as you know, we can't hide from the topic matter, because as I talked about earlier in this program, that we got to deal with speak truth and speak truth in the truth. And the way we get better as a people is we deal with yesterday, and we look at what happened yesterday, and we try to do better tomorrow, and to teach our children and let our children see that we can find common ground to work on. But that day in that mall, as we know, Dr. Khalid Muhammad had been suspended from the Nation of Islam. And, you know, he had been working with the Nation of Islam over 20 years as the Supreme Captain and Minister Farrakhan National Assistant. So for us, it was a very emotional day because we all have our selfishness in us.
Uh-huh.
And for us to look up on the stage and see Dr. Ben Muhammad, Ben Chavis up there and others, we knew Dr. Khalid Muhammad should have been on that stage. He should have had his time to speak. But,
I'm glad you brought.
Dr. Khalid Muhammad. But let me just say this, Dr. Khalid Muhammad. That day, he saw what many millions of people that was there saw, and what millions around the world saw. He saw his leader, who he risked his life for his leader to reach that goal, and his father, his spiritual father and mentor, up there leading something that they had fought since the fall of the Nation of Islam, and when Minister Farrakhan and a couple of people, including Dr. Collins, stood up to rebuild it. And as we, young and aggressive, was trying to get Dr. Collins toward the stage, and as the sea of people, as you say, was moving him through the crowd, Dr. Khalid Muhammad began to, and there's nothing wrong on Black Power Radio talking about Dr. Khalid Muhammad. Basically, his birthday was this month in January, and he would have been, like I said in the beginning of the show, 63. So it's good okay. You brought him up. It's good you brought him up while we're looking at the revolutionaries in the mirror. But what I'm saying, that day, tears started screaming from his eyes as me and Attorney Shabazz and our youth witness, we wanted to get him to the stage, and we wanted Brother Malik to speak, and we wanted to get to that stage, but Khalid saw something else. And in the midst of that crowd, he asked me and to take him back to his hotel room. So he watched most of the Million Man March from the hotel room because there was so much love for him in the audience, and there was so much, he saw it, there was so many people he had touched in his many, many years of work, and all of them had the same objective. Ask them, when are you going to speak? Why you ain't on stage? And it was taken from that moment. That moment was bigger than any individual. That moment was bigger than any man, to see over probably 2 million black men standing together, locked arm to arm, in a very spiritual, grounded environment. But Doc didn't want to bother that spirit, so he was a big enough man to not be selfish, not worry about himself, and take himself away from the equation for people can stay focused and keep their eyes on the prize. And the eyes on the prize that day was God and God himself showing the world that the black man and the African in America that was a slave a couple of days ago were standing tall. And I'm sure today in the White House, this president called Obama, I'm pretty sure that day boosted him up too. So Dr. Khalid Muhammad that day, brother, humbled himself and went back to the hotel room, and that's where we watched it. Now on your question, which we hadn't forgot, can we save all our people? I don't think there's a period or a time in history where the black Messiah, Moses, or Muhammad, none of us, none of the great leaders have ever been able to save all of our people. But what our duty is, our duty is not to be in the house, as the Bible say, with the 99 that are safe, but to go out in the byways and the highways and find the ones who went astray. And sometimes, brother, that's easy to say. But when you get out in these highways and byways and you're really spiritually grounded and you're doing this work, like the Honorable, and I call him my mentor, Doctor and Attorney Malik Julius Shabazz, as I've traveled with him for over 17 years, when you get in West Virginia, and when you get in Janetown, Virginia, and when you get in Paris, Texas, and when you get in Gina, and when you get in Jasper, Texas, and when you get in Atlanta, Georgia, and South Carolina, and some of these down in Harlem, and when you get among our people and the oppressor, it's a lot easier to take the easy route. It's a lot easier to go where it's safe. But when you choose to lead, or you choose to be a revolutionary, which means complete constructive change, unfortunately, you have to deal with our brothers and sisters that are weak, that want to give up, that are dysfunctional. But as Harriet Tubman did in slavery, when you do grab them brothers and sisters, and you do find the Underground Railroad, and you do follow the North Star, and when you are working to free and liberate our people, if you find a traitor or somebody that's so damn weak where they're hindering the survival of our people, yes, you have to leave them. And sometimes, brother, you have to kill them. Brother Sean, if he's still on.
Yes, sir, he's still on.
Brother, that's my answer. Everybody's not going to go, but it's our job to at least go and reach and give them an avenue.
Oh, wow. That's wonderful. The story, you put so much in perspective. that's charlatan. Well, no, I'm not going to call it division. But some of those people up on stage, I can't hide it. I'm pissed off to hear about a lot of what you said. Some of those, well, there's a certain person, and I won't mention him, but for this person I'm thinking about to be up there on stage, and I didn't know, I hadn't even thought about the fact that I thought maybe I'd missed Dr. Muhammad speaking. But I didn't, I'm so glad you, I'm really speechless about that. And it makes me, you probably have an idea of what it's making me want to reevaluate my opinions about, I'll just say this, a lot of different people, and I'll just leave it at that.
Yes, sir.
But it's been wonderful speaking with you, and I'll listen to the rest of the show with interest and the usual enthusiasm that I have for listening to what the new Black Panther Party represents and has to say.
Yes, sir. We appreciate you, brother, and we love you.
All right. Peace to you, brother.
Yes, sir. Brother Sean?
Yes, sir. We got another caller, Brother Hashim.
Let me just say this before we bring the call on. It takes a lot of truth and love and courage to care for the poor and the voiceless, brother, and the powerless. You really have to have a strong relationship with your God to liberate poor and powerless people, because our passion for what we want, and when we can't provide for our babies, and when we can't do certain things, and we're victim of such discrimination, and we're torn apart at every turn, and our oppressor works so diligently in destroying us as a race of people, only God can make us whole again, and he used us to do that. He don't do it himself. He used us to do that. I'll go ahead and take that call, bro.
All right. 502-356, you're on the air. National Chief of Staff, Hashima Zinga, Black Power. 502-356, you're on the air. All right, I guess they don't have a question. We'll keep moving. Go ahead, Brother Chief Staff.
Yeah, we can probably pick them back up. Man, it was a powerful call. You know, and talking about that experience, with the Million Man March and how it influenced us and our perspective with Dr. Khaled after that. Of course, that's what created the Million Youth March. You know, and what I have to say to that brother is, you know, regardless to what we say on this phone, Minister Farrakhan and his vision of the Million Man March gave birth to the Million Woman March, the Million Family March, the Million March on Reparations, and that was a tidal wave that hit the white man. And eventually, Dr. Khaled Muhammad, in his unique way, gave the Million Youth March in Harlem, which well over 100,000 people participated in, and still to this day, that march has changed young people's lives. So the experience of going through what Dr. Khaled went through, and the experience of going through what we went through as his believers and followers, it was all to help us grow to who we are today. You know, and these movements don't come because you get the easy way out. These movements are not built because you participate in everything that's credible and happy, and in the approach of everything just great. You're unsuccessful sometimes when you attempt things in these movements, you know, and you learn from that. Dr. Khaled used to say there's no experiment in the lab of failure. If you went in and you meant to make black and you made red, write down how you made red, you understand? And I just appreciate some of the battles and some of the scars we got put on. And as far as the Million Man March and him bringing up that and Minister the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, you know, we come a long way in the 10 years that the Honorable Dr. Khaled has been not with us physically, but been with us spiritually. But we didn't only come a long way for Dr. Khalid Muhammad in 10 years. We came a long way for African people because, as we know now, for the first time in history, three or four years ago, the new Black Panther Party spoke at Savior's Day. I was talking to the chairman today, and we're going to go to Savior's Day this year and support Savior's Day. Black people need to understand we have to unite. And like I said in this conversation, we're only strong as our weakest link, and we all have fell short as our goals. And let those without sin cast the first stone. It shouldn't be one stone picked up because we all have sinned. And so we can't be such critical, so hard on our brothers and sisters that we throw a stone and knock them out when there's a boulder about to fall on us, you understand? And I like traveling with Dr. Khalid Muhammad and understanding his love for Minister Farrakhan and understanding Minister Farrakhan's love for Elijah Muhammad, and then going into Malcolm X's mind and his love for Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam, and then you go back into Elijah and how it all got started and how Marcus Garvey was a part of that, and it goes back and back and back, and Marcus Garvey coming over here from Booker T. Washington, and who got Booker T. Washington ready. Man, this our history, it just goes back and back. And as we come forward, we understand that we can't win unless we're united. And so when me and the chairman went to the palace and sat in the office where Elijah Muhammad sits and Minister Farrakhan over the nation, and we talked frankly about Khalid and his suspension in the nation, and we went back and forward very frankly on why did you do him like that? And Minister answered the questions, and he asked us, why did Khalid do this? And we went back and forward as young grandchildren of Minister Farrakhan, since he was the father of our father, and we brought all that thing together where the new Black Panther Party and the Nation of Islam could work together. And so after all that, we worked on the Million More Movement, which we, and our leader was a co-convener. Attorney Malik Nusabaz was a co-convener of the Million More Movement, and he got his chance to speak. And I also spoke at the Million More Movement. And I remember Minister Farrakhan telling us the story about Elijah Muhammad, Fred Hampton, and Mark Clark. The original Panther Party did not embrace the Nation of Islam, and they did not work together. And Mark Clark and Fred Hampton basically went to Elijah and had words with him and didn't want him mentioning the Black Panther Party and didn't want to work with him. And so for us to come back to history and heal that wound where we have communication, and when we see the brothers in the street, the FOI selling newspapers, and they see the new Black Panther Party, we hug each other, embrace each other, and we work together in unity. That's what Khalid was about, and that's what Khalid would smile about, because we could have been crazy and been at war with each other and been then killed off a half each other, and only the white man would have benefited from that, and we would have let the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad die in vain. So I'm proud of talking about the past because I know the history, but I also know how far we've come, and I know how far we can go in the future, brother, on uniting and healing wounds and working together and beating the hell out of this white man. Now, if that call is there, we'll take a call.
All right, 214-431, you're on the air with the National Chief of Staff, Black Power.
Hey, Black Power, Brother Sean Farley, Brother X Elder, Brother Drew X, calling up the Southern region.
Black Power.
Black Power. I just calling, man, and just listening to the show, like your teaching style, and I just thought I'd pass on some good words. I know Brother Khalid, General Khalid Muhammad, would be proud of you, Malik, Sean, and all the people who he tutored and y'all carried on. You know what I'm saying? It's one thing. A lot of people just think you just saying Brother Khalid every day, but you know, you when you speak to me, you mention Brother Khalid, and it's just one-on-one. You know what I'm saying? This is a real love for someone, and there's no better honor you know, after someone done passed to the other side, that people still are honoring their name and their works. And I just thought I'd just pass on that. I know he would be proud of you guys. So that's what I really just had to say, Black Power.
Black Power. We just want to say to Brother Drew X, who's handling that region out there toward Texas, that there's a lot on his heart and a lot on that region right now. We had a misfortune of having one of our brothers, beloved brothers, in an incident, in an accident that we're now in investigation, where there was a shooting incident, and we just want to pray that our God and the spirit of our Creator give our brother a full 100% recovery and bring him back to his feet so he could keep fighting in this liberation struggle. And that's Brother Akeem out in Dallas. And our hearts go out to him right now and what he's going through. And we're going to unite and hug our brother and surround our brother with love and heal our brother and stand him back up so he could be a great leader that Dr. Khaled Muhammad and others put in him to be, and that our chairman look at him and see. And we'll talk about that later, but we want to let him know that we are thinking about him in this hour, and our prayers have been going out to him. And I want to tell Brother Drew and Ali and all the brothers out there in Texas to stay strong and be vigilant and lock down your posts. Lock down your posts. Okay, Brother Sean, we'll take another call if we got one.
That's all we got for right now. The next person.
What'd you say, brother? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I was just saying, sir, that's all the calls on cue right now to the next person. Come on.
Okay, so we'll just go back to talking about this revolutionary that's looking in the mirror. And, brother, I'm telling you, it's very, very stimulating when we use the right choice of words to reignite this liberation movement. And when you got a strong brother like Attorney Malik Louis Shabazz, who never quits, and Brother Akbar. Boy, I can start naming all these brothers and sisters, and Sister Mira there with you, and there's so many across the call list. Brother Divine, them up there, and on, Sister Sheena, and look, Brother Hannibal, and man, wow, it's making me feel good to unite our brothers in words and influence them in theology and the perspective that we can argue that we the last group standing, and our gospel do work with solidarity and the struggle. We can free our people, brother, and it's God's intentions for us to free our people. We are ambassadors to the revolution and the movement. And I want to reach out to our brother out there in Savannah, brother, and I need to call him. He's been calling me. Brother Shabazz out there who has been around us for a long time and has spoke for the voiceless so many times with passion. And I want to just make us all understand this is a sign of time, and it's God's intentions to redeem the black man and the black woman. And with the reflection of Africa always over our head, brother, we have to keep the faith. We have to understand, we have to feature ourselves. We have to be the closing act. We have to specialize in making people understand the liberation and theology that we teaching is the best topic, and the black man need to be on it, and it's a powerful topic. But at the same time, we have to learn to write essays. We have to learn to compete with a global society in science, man, in technology, in engineering, like we did in Africa for many years. We have to understand that they tainted our food, they tainted our mind, they tainted the African village, and we have to work like mad scientists and doctors to come up with the formula to take that poison out of our people's minds, out of their stomachs, out of their heads, and put us back on the square and be the people that we really are, passionate people, a forgiving people, a people that pull together, a people that have always understood in our relationships that there's a struggle sometimes, but you have to have faith, and you have to have a deep influence that the Creator is going to work with us in this.
All right, Black Power, my family, we lost the connection with the National Chief of Staff, and Hashim, he will call back in. And so hope that we're all enjoying this history lesson our dear brother's dropping. He's dropping it and giving the history. It's a man that has walked for over a decade with the Black Power General. And so I believe we have him back on now. Go right ahead, sir.
Okay. Wow, I didn't even know I was off, brother. Did we get any? Yes, sir. Did we get any callers? I don't want to disrespect nobody.
Yes, sir. We do. We got 214-431. You're on the air with the National Chief of Staff, Black Power. Okay, this is Brother Drew. Okay, no, sir, we don't. It's just Brother Drew with his hand up. Go right ahead, sir. Sorry about that.
Okay, no problem. We can do this. Yeah, Brother Crow. So tonight, Brother Sean, as you can see, the future of the party looks good. The future of the military looks good. The death of the white man is in sight. And the vision of the black revolutionaries, the vision of Nat Turner, the vision of Frederick Douglass, the vision of Harriet Tubman, Ida B. Wells, the vision of Phyllis Wheatley, the vision of Louis Lattimore, who invented the filaments in the light bulb so we can have light over our heads, the visions of Booker T, the visions of W.E.B. Du Bois, the visions of Marcus Garvey that we know, the Honorable Marcus Garvey, the vision of Shaka Zulu, man, the vision of Nkrumah in Ghana, the vision of the black Jesus in the revolutionary is in us. And we have to understand tonight on this Black Power Radio that we have to stand now and we have to carry on this vision. Nobody's going to do it for us. Your neighbor ain't going to do it for you. We're transcending, and the point I'm making, brother, is there's heaven on earth. Our black scholars got to come out and start teaching liberation again, brother. Our black preachers got to come out and start preaching liberation again, brother. We got to stop punishing ourselves with the wickedness of the white man. And we got to stop letting the white man keeping us enslaved as 21st century slaves when God has already liberated us and freed us from that. You know, we got to understand Pharaoh do not control this no more. It's up to us, brother. If we're dissatisfied with something, it's up to us to change. It's up to us to assemble. We have to look at that revolutionary in the mirror, brother, and become an ex-slave, brother. We got to become an ex-white man worshiper. We feel, some of us, if we don't watch it, we'll call the white man the master, man. We are ordained ministers, man, to liberate our people and for the new Black Panther Party, especially, man. Stand up and hold your post as a freedom fighter and get out of that nigger mess and reach your goals. Keep your eye on the prize, on that North Star, you know, and affirm yourself that you stuff like you somebody. Embody yourself with good reading, good music, good food, so you can bring a reality around the people that love you and respect you and stop punishing yourself with the foolishness and stay off them phones and them Facebooks and them tweeters. Deal with nonsense, gossiping. And it's just worthless to see great black people wasting time, man. Restrict yourself from foolishness. You know, if you're mad, read a book. If you're unhappy, read a book. But read a book that's going to bring you some knowledge and power. And sit around with your lips out, always looking at everything upside down. Turn it around, you know. Our brother Mike Roberts taught me that we think out of the box. Stop thinking out of the box. Because if you think out of the box, that means you done let somebody put you in a box. Where did the damn box come from? You know, I was telling my queen about people saying there's light at the end of the tunnel. Well, when the tunnels I go in, hell, there's light in the middle of the tunnel. Why we always got to wait to the end to see what happens? Let's start seeing the light in the middle of the tunnel, too. We're suffering people because we teach suffering. We're poor people because we teach being poor. Because it was taught to us. We discriminate against each other. We refuse to understand that we are.
All right, dear brothers and sisters, National Chief of Staff just having some connection problems. He'll be right back on. If you have your questions, if you have questions for the National Chief of Staff, just make sure you press number one so I know that you're in queue. The lines are packed. Just want to be able to get all of your questions in and get them in right on time. And don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to ask because we don't get many opportunities like this to ask questions to those who have walked hand-in-hand with the Black Power General, Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, and you hear him tell you stories about when they were there in the sea of black men, over 2 million, I would say 2 million black men at the Million Man March. And so make sure you get your questions in. It could be a military question. It could be a revolutionary question, a black nonsense question. This is the man who was giving the devil hell on Fox News and giving them hell on CNN, and they was questioning him about all kind of craziness that he had to refute. And so when he get back on, when he realized he's all called back in, just one of those things. We got to get independent to the point where we even develop our own telecommunications. This is just real. Got to begin to develop our own telecommunications. So the engineers out there listening to Black Power Radio must begin to develop our own electronic system so that we can have our own devices, because the devices are the enemy. They shut down, they'll cut you off, you ain't going to be able to get your message out and all this. It's the same thing with the news right now. And so everybody be on the lookout while we have this time. Be on the lookout for the new Black Panther paper. Be on the lookout, all the chapters. Make sure that you order. Put your order, place your order for the newest edition of the new Black Panther paper. It's on its way out, and we'll be giving you the information over the next couple of weeks on where to place your order. And you don't have to be a registered member of the new Black Panther Party to get a paper. Get you a paper. The new Black Panther is going to be the most revolutionary, hard-hitting, strongest black nationalist, revolutionary Pan-Africanist newspaper anywhere in the world. And anybody who has ever sold the paper or had the paper in their city, you already know this. You already know that if you got the new Black Panther news in your city, it's going to flow like hotcakes. We'll bring on 214-672. You're on the air, Black Power Radio. Just wait for Minister Hashim Mzinga, Black Power.
Hey, Black Power, Brother Sean Kwani, National Spokesman for Dr. Terry Malik Zulu Shabazz. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Sir, I'm doing very, very well. How are you, my dear brother Hakeem Muhammad?
And sir, I give our praises to Allah, the ancestors, for allowing us to be able to come together through the mutual teachings of patience, trust, a cost, and understanding. I basically wasn't going to say anything, but I promised to be brief, but I will be strong. You just struck a nerve with me, brother. I'm really still kind of in suffering and pain, and I'm so inspired by our National Chief of Staff, Hashim Nazinger. As you know, that this is the brother who came to Muhammad Mars number 48. He was speaking to a few of the brothers there and telling them that the Black Power General was coming to Dallas, Texas. And when I looked in, I started hollering and screaming like some kind of wild banshee. And I went, and when he was walking out, and he grabbed for his door, and I said, "Let me in. I'm going with you, brother." And we've been together since then. And I just really inspired to hear him speaking tonight about the Black Power General. Because, you know, I had more love for him than I had for my own brother because of the reputation that he had for being a chief revolutionary in the struggle for the liberation and the salvation of the Black nation. And I traveled extensively with him, the Black Power General, and our National Chief of Staff, Hashim Nasinger. Usually I don't speak when he speaks because, you know, he speaks for all of us. And I don't know anybody more well able, other than Dr. Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, to speak besides this brother and yourself, National Spokesman, Sean Kwali. You know, it's like we're all a body. And a lot of time people be talking about who is this and who is that. I always tell the people, if you look at the head, that's the God of the ancestors, and the life heart of the body is the Black Power General with the heart. And me, I'm the legs of the body. I'm always trying to take it where it has to go. And he just basically stuck a nerve with me when you said the new Black Panther Party paper. Because as the Supreme Chapter, the paper has to be gotten to the people because the people are the real soldiers who have the paper. And once you have the new Black Panther Party paper in your hand, you have the word of the new Black Panther Party and our national chairman, Malik Zulu Shabazz, in your hand. And when the people see it, they say, "Hey, I didn't know you people were here. You're we here and support us with the new Black Panther Party paper." Brother, I can go on and on and on. I'm kind of in pain. You know, I've been logged on. I got your message and stuff, and I really couldn't believe it. And a lot of people were hitting me, and I was kind of in pain. I'm kind of suffering. Been out kind of get to the doctors and stuff today. But I give all praise to due to Allah for sending us brothers like you and our national chairman and our national chief of staff, the national assistant. We can go on and on and on with Brother King Shamir and Brother Yim Hotep and our southern regional our chairman, our brother Drew X, is indeed a blessing as well as a privilege to soldier with you, brothers, to be part of the vanguard. You brothers are in the struggle. It's one thing about a general. He never sent these people anywhere because he always leads the charge. I'm praying to Almighty God Allah that my recovery will be strong and it will be swift. I'll be back in action and leading the charge because me, I don't want to tell nobody to go nowhere. I won't go. I always want to be up in the front. So to our National Chief of Staff, Hashim Nasinger, I love you more than I love my own blood relative because he's the only thing that I've really had to be a role model for me. And the brother is really showing love for me. When I was in West Africa, when I got married, I was calling the brother, letting him know that, hey, I'm moving on and I'm expanding and going on. And he was always there for me. So I give all praises due to our brother, Hashim Nasinger. I really, really admire this brother in case I don't know. He's a link in my life. Without him, you know, I feel very fruitless because he's very precious to me. So I pray to a lot of people strong in his quest for knowledge of the devil and life to keep going. Keep out of Black Power. One love, brother.
One love to you, Black man. We appreciate your words, Hakeem. We got to get some more calls. We love you, buddy. Get strong. Heal up. Stay on the battlefield. Black Power, comrade. All right, let's take another call here. We're waiting on Hashim and Zynga. Like 111, 111, you're on with Black Power Radio. Your question or comment, Black Power.
Hello?
Go right ahead.
Brother, this is Brother Hashim.
This is who?
This is Brother Hashim.
Okay. All right. Yes, sir. Black Power.
Brother, you know, this is double jeopardy when you're telling the truth and talking to the white man. You know, before the show started, you sent me several texts. I never received them. I'm sure you sent them, but this white man got a way of taking the technology that the black man created and doing what he want with it. So my phone just would not call back in. It wouldn't let it. They blocking the signals. So I had to get another phone and call back in. I get right in.
Yes,
but
sir.
That is the response of the enemy when we're doing our job and when we stay on our mission. And
that's right.
But this is so deep because we're in the hell of America, man, and liberation ain't going to come easy, and it ain't going to come overnight. And people sometimes say, well, when, brother, when are we going to win? Well, brother, we already won. When you win is when you start telling your own story. You know, in a documentary I mentioned earlier, brother, the white man went to the white man who started the series Cops. And, you know, we know we got highway patrol, we got SWAT, we got white police story, white women superstars, all of these stories are put together, and they showed on TV to show black people looking like buffoons and black people being attacked. But Michael Moore, that's his name, he asked the white man who started the series Cops, what if you would have went to the white-collar workers and started a story called Arresting White-Collar Workers? And the cracker was stunned. He asked him that. Because as we know, you can take in Dallas, Texas, where Brother King just called from, and you can take all the brothers that they talk about selling some weed and stealing some hubcaps and stealing some DVDs and stealing a TV, and you could pile all the stuff that the brothers stole in the Texas stadium or that New Orleans stadium where they're going to play that Super Bowl, and you'll have probably 30,000 brothers in jail, and you'll have probably 40,000 episodes of Cops and Highway Patrol chasing them brothers. And you could take one white man from downtown in Houston and Enron, and he'll been then stole with one stroke of the pen enough to fill up every football stadium in America. So we know that they tell their story, and they show what they want of us because they mostly own these networks, and we let them tell our story. That's why it's so important we have our website, our newspapers, our even our internet TV tell our own stories, because most of the black kids that I run into are making good grades. Most of the black kids that I run into day to day are coming from school and going to school. Most black people that I associate with and I meet and I run with are working or at least looking for a job and doing the right thing. I see black teachers struggling every day to make sure black kids get everything they need in the classroom. I see black business owners taking their little truck and fixing flats, taking their store and stocking the goods. I see black people graduating from college and going on to work and start their own jobs. And unfortunately, some of them work in corporate America, but we need that knowledge also. I see black pilots when I go to airports all the time. I see black doctors, black dentists. I see black bankers. I see black people on Wall Street. I go to St. Louis and hang out with a billionaire named Mike Roberts. I go to Dallas and hang out with a millionaire named Como Cottrell. I see the genius in a doctor, Khaled Al-Mansour, out there in San Antonio, Texas. You know, I get to talk to the revolutionary here in Atlanta, Mikasa Rick, who's still teaching black power. I see a beautiful black race of people, man. I see Michelle Obama teaching the black woman how to stand by her man and be strong and black. I see we got a black president, like it or not, of these united crooked states of America. I see so much success in us, brother, in talking to you, Brother Sean, and how you handle yourself, and how so many of us are doing the right thing, but our stories are not told. We cannot believe the hype. We cannot believe we these buffoons and these sambos and these niggas that this white man portray on his TV every evening at 5 o'clock and 12 o'clock and 11 o'clock. We are a better people than that. We have to understand that this white man has done a tremendous job oppressing us, enslaving us, and taking our birthright. And we have done a tremendous job taking it back from their damn ass and standing up and block by block, city by city, taking back what belonged to the black man and the black woman right back to Africa. And it's just amazing, brother, in looking at the, back to the topic, looking at the revolutionary in the mirror, if we do that and we have a clear conscience and a clear mind and take out the envy and the jealousy, the hate, and put in the good stuff, man, we will rejoice in Africa, man, because, you know, if you go to the airport, Brother Sean, and you try to get on a plane to go to Africa, hell, it'll be 394 white people going to Africa, and you might be the only black on the plane. Why is that? Why do they got us hating Africa? They say nothing but monkeys and baboons and ain't nothing in Africa, but they flock over to Africa. And as we talked about in our national 20-year anniversary, when President Obama went to the G8 summit, the first thing he understood in the G8 summit was that G8 summit, those eight nations was represent the eight nations that run the world. And they supposed to be the eight nations that have all the, run the raw materials of the world and run what we see every day. But the only thing was missing at the G8 summit was Africa. But everybody at the G8 summit, European countries, were talking about what they were going to do in the future, but what they were going to do in the future come from Africa. If they were talking about rubber, they got to go to Liberia, to them rubber fields. If they were talking about gold, oil, zinc, if they were talking about cocoa, whatever they were talking about, if they were talking about animals in the zoo, if they were talking about skins of any kind, if they were talking about anything, brother, it was coming out of the soils of Africa. So when President of the United States left that GA summit, he had to get on the plane, and he took Air Force One to Ghana, and he took his family in and out of the door of no returns, where our brothers and sisters, bless their hearts, were sold into slavery, man. And they came out of that door no return and came over to America and built America for these white people and never went home again. And he showed that now it's time for us to go back home and realize them 54 nations in Africa still run the whole entire world. And I was telling a young group of people, don't you let no white man tell you in America that you're a minority, Brother Sean, a minority. And, brother, I got to make sure I'm still on. Am I still on?
Yes, sir. We're loud and clear.
Well, you know how these white men mess with this fault. I got to make sure. But this is a very serious matter. When we was talking to the young people, we were saying, you stop letting the white man tell you you are the minority in America, because you are the only people, a little black, innocent face. You can get on a plane and they're in there flying any direction. And when you land in Brazil, it'd be nothing but black. When you land in the Bahamas, it'd be nothing but black. When you land in Trinidad, it'd be nothing but black. When you land in Mexico, it'd be brown. When you go to them 54 nations of Africa, everywhere you go, you'll be the majority in a plane ride. So you're the majority in the world. And the white man is vastly becoming the minority, even in America. His world is coming to an end. It's crashing down. The minorities are the majority and always have been, but the world is showing it now. And this man is panicking. He's dialing 911, and nobody answering the phone. We have to understand who we are at this time, and we have to push his ass off the cliff and let him fall to a miserable death, man. We can have no mercy on our enemy, man, because our weakness is the mercy on our enemy. But then somebody would say, okay, if the white man is not, Brother Hashim, the majority in the world, why does he rule everywhere you go? Why can't the British come up with a cliche that the sun rises and sets on the British Empire? Because when the British went in South Africa and they faced Shaka Zulu, 11, 12, 18 million South Africans, an army of probably 3, 4 million, how did a handful of British go in there and destroy them? They used the old game that they use on us today, divide and conquer. They divided the Zulu nation into ANC and the Zulu nation, and they made them fight each other. Why is the white man all over Africa, the Belgian? Why was he in the Congos? And why did a black man, and why did a black man destroy Patrice Lumumba? Because the white man is an expert, brother, at dividing us and conquering us. That's why tonight, brother, we got to reunite. We got to recommit to unity. We got to recommit to struggle. We got to recommit to following good leadership like Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, who has never, ever sit down on his post, who's always waking up in the morning and going to bed late trying to figure out how to put his foot in this white man's behind and trying to free our people or giving our people a highway or a vice to use in this struggle. We have to understand if somebody in your ear talking negative, tell them you'll see them tomorrow. I got work to do. Brother, this is so important that we look in the mirror, restructure our mind, restructure our lives, and work in unity and work together and understand there's a better day coming. Understand there's a better time coming, but also understand what we said on this phone tonight, that we are doing all right. We are doing good things. We are the creators of civilization. We are the scientists, the mathematicians, the teachers, the doctors, the lawyers, the professors. But our story is not told enough. We have to tell our story. We have to tell our story in the New Black Panther Party. We have to tell our story in history, and we have to tell our story that's going on right now as we speak. We have to make sure they don't take Dr. Ben Carson, the great brain surgeon, from us. We have to make sure that we understand that a black man run UPS. We got to understand that a black man is involved in FedEx. They can't do anything anywhere without us. So we have to teach our kids that we are and we will be, but we also got to understand that we got a long way to go and we can do better, but we can never think that God hadn't been on our side and he hadn't gave us many victories that we should take time to celebrate and talk about. But we also got to understand the enemy consistently is at work to destroy, divide, and conquer us. And, brother, I'm telling you, there's a wonderful sun rising. There's a wonderful moon setting on our babies. We got to make sure our babies are there to receive the reward. We got to protect our babies. We got to make sure that they survive. And unfortunately, in our communities, it's easy for their survival. All we have to do is go and get our dysfunctional people and stop them from killing each other. Stop them from self-hatred. Stop the black-on-black violence and crime and hate. And love each other again, man. We got to teach it every day. I remember when Malcolm X said Elijah Muhammad framed the word calling us brothers and sisters. And I remember in Midland, Texas, where I grew up, I was in about the seventh or eighth grade when I met my first Muslim brother, and he was calling people brothers and sisters. I thought it was a con job, but then I caught on to it, and it was beautiful for a brother to be calling me brother, and I didn't even know him, and calling sisters, sisters. We have to learn to respect each other again and use language, starting with baby steps, just not calling each other whores and bitches and all of these names, and call each other brothers and sisters again, man, and remind ourselves every time we get off the path, get right back on it. It's easy to get off the path in this crooked world with all this stress and pressure, but it's easy to get back on the road of righteousness, brother, and we have to understand in this organization and the radio listener that it's on us. We got all the tools we need. We just got to get up and become the great farmers again and grow crop again and feed our babies and feed our minds good stuff again, man, and stop going for this poison, Brother Sean. You understand?
Yes, sir. We got another, got a couple calls, but I see whenever you're ready.
Brother, like Adam Clayton Powell, I'm ready for the controversy. Bring them on.
Yes, sir. 757-541, you're on the air. National Chief of Staff, Black Power.
Black Power, Brother Sean Kwali. This is Brother Jelani.
Black Power. Go right ahead, Brother Jelani.
Black Power, I was just calling just to let you know I'm ready for that newspaper. I got over a dozen locations, and I'm ready for that newspaper when it come out, brother.
Black Power, you got to give a question to the National Chief of Staff. He's on with us.
Black Power, Brother Hasheem.
Black Power, it's good to hear your voice.
All right. I don't really have a question right now, but like I was saying, like you said, it's good to hear your voice again. Black Power.
The main thing, brother, you said the right thing. You're waiting on that newspaper. And very important that we understand that we have to write our story. And we have to understand that in the original party and in the Nation of Islam and with W. E. Du Bois and the paper he wrote, The Liberator, and The North Star by our great brother who authored many papers, the Honorable Marcus Garvey. And these papers have sustained our communities and sustained our people with knowledge and have put money in our pocket. We have to write these papers. We can't depend on the Washington Post and the New York Times and the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and Dallas Morning News and L.A. Times and the Time magazines to tell our story. We must be the authors of our own stories, to tell our own success and victories and tell our own oppression, and to give our people the recipes to take to the kitchen to feed us right again, and to talk to our people about how the environment is killing us because they target our communities with the electric plants and the oil fields and the toxic waste and the landfills. And we have to tell our story to protect our people. And so I'm looking very forward for that new Black Panther paper to hit the streets again. I'm so excited every time I see a cover of a new Black Panther paper or I pick up one of our older papers and read them. They live today just like 2 or 3 years ago when some of them was written. There's so much knowledge in it, you know, and that's what we were talking about earlier in the show when we talk about the evolution of the revolution. Brother, we'll take another call.
Yes, sir. 415-571, you're on the air now. Some Chief of Staff, Hashim and Zynga, Black Power.
Black Power. Hello, you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
Hello? Did you hear me?
Go right ahead, sister. We can hear you loud and clear. Your question.
Oh, how you doing? This is Queen Nandi. Hey, good to call you. Hear from you again, Brother Sean. This is Queen Nandi in San Francisco.
Hey, Black Power.
Much love, Black Power. Much love to my brother Hashim there. Much love. I was hearing what you're saying, and I can dig, you know, understand how, you know, we're dealing with the enemy. Now, I understand this condition out here, like, and out here in the Bay Area, San Francisco. I understand his condition. He even come up to me and give me respect because he know that I understand his condition. Now, one of the things out here that I deal with in my neighborhood is that we still got these house Negroes who are so, they're like on terminal status with the Willie Lynch syndrome, that I see more of our people creating more havoc and destruction because they love their master so much upon those like myself, our brother JR, maybe the chairman, POCC, you know, Fred Hampton Jr. We've seen a lot of attacks on us by us. And so it's like, you know, the Willie Lynch syndrome, some folks, you know, really are at the terminal stage. And it's like, you know, the more and more we're making the medicine, the more they're just knocking the medicine off the shelves. Now, you know, I believe in, you know, we don't do any violence towards our brothers and sisters. But at the same time, I'm starting to see a painful reality that before we can point the gun at white, we got to take a couple of these house niggas out because we can't even get to the white folks because we got these house niggas saying that, hey, we love our master so much, we're going to kill your ass, your family, whoever. I had our own color approach me. I've had my door burned. I had my children attacked. I have all these about people who are our color because they're not receiving anything other than what master comes driving to tell you. You know, and that's just really sad and it's sickening to see that I have a white man tell me, like, I respect you because I'm hitting him with so much truth. The body blows with his story and our story, you know, he can't even deny it. But then we have our folks that our own kind, who you think you is, who Queen Nandi thinks she is, or who Tiny thinks she is, or what's the revolution, or why I ain't ready for the revolution. And all I tell them is that, okay, if you're not ready, don't get in my way. Go dig a shovel for yourself, because that's where you're going to lead. It's all about freedom and death here. But what I just want to say, brother, you know, it's really sad and sickening to see our own kind just taking the white man's plan and running with it. He ain't got to come up in here other than to move the crowd every now and then. When the police come through, everybody run. But me and this other brother, because he got the camera rolling. But, you know, it's sickening to see our people just gone. The Leland syndrome is just in full effect. And if God willing, hopefully the expiration date will be next year. But, you know, I was just saying that's really a sad thing, brother. But I'm going to keep on with the fight. And, like, I'm just colorblind when it comes to the enemy.
Well, sister, we appreciate your call. And I know you clearly understand the last thing I said was when the white man said the sun rises and sets on the British Empire, the way the British and the white man was able to destroy us by divide and conquer and miseducation. We here in America are different from blacks all over the world because we can at least say that there was a slavery for 400 and some years that we went through something that no other people in the world went through, the type of slavery that was done to us in America. But some of the African nations and some of the countries that hadn't been touched by the white man as much as we have, still he went touched them and divided and conquered them. I just have to say this, sister, and it's very important that we talk about this subject matter very, very openly. You know, and Brother Jamil Amin, I had brought him to Dallas to speak, and we have to pray and fight every day to take him back from the white man, which got him caged out there in Denver, Colorado, for the rest of his life, unless we're going to do something about it. Peace go out to him and his family. Brother Jamil Amin, H. Ralph Brown, told me that the white man don't send a lion to kill a zebra. He sent a zebra to kill a zebra because a zebra can spot a lion a mile away. So, yes, sister, he has mastered sending us in our own communities and getting to us and making us destroy our families and getting to us and making us act out worse than he could ever act out because he's behind the scenes. As Mr. Farrakhan, you say, he's the invisible hand. For every puppet, there's a puppeteer, and when you move them curtains, you'll see the white man with those strings. And, sister, we have to understand. We have to understand quickly. When we recognize people that's absolutely traitors, absolutely fell outside of the community, we have to put them out there on Main Street and let the world know that we reject them and they're not of us and they're not ours. And, you know, we all know as our natural spirit is to reach for our brothers and sisters, forgive our brothers and sisters, like I say, and work with our brothers and sisters. But when we know that these straight toms who are going to die defending the white man, we have to get them out of our midst because we should not be colorblind when it comes to fighting who's destroying us. But our young people who are getting more violent at a young age, getting more miseducated than ever before, we have to work closer with the young. But some of these old heads who've been making money off the system and coming back into our organizations, destroying them and plotting and working with the government to destroy movements, we have to deal with that. We have to. That's part of looking at the man in the mirror or the sister in the mirror. Whatever problems that keeping us from being free have to be neutralized. And a lot of people get mad, Brother Sean, at the New Black Panther Party because we don't let whites in the New Black Panther Party. And we always stand firm on that because when we study the original Black Panther Party, we got to realize the reason some of the original party members, not all, but some, run around worshiping and bragging on white people to this day because they had their hands in the wallet and they had their hands in the purse of some of these white people who were giving money to the original Panther Party and they were profiting off of our death and destruction. Because my problem when I study the original party is I don't see no whites in coffins. I see Fred Hampton and Mark Clark and others in coffins. I don't see whites having to run to Cuba and have to run to Nigeria and they can't come back to the United States. I don't see no whites that I can write that got life in the penitentiary or on death row for being a pimp. I didn't see when they surrounded
Brother Eric Cleaver and little Bobby Huff. I didn't see no whites getting shot. I seen a little 17-year-old kid named Bobby Huff funeral, the youngest Panther to ever die. If you can't ever be around when we're getting shot at, if you can't ever be in the coffin when we're going to funerals, if you can't ever be behind bars for the rest of your life, if you can't ever be chased out of this country, lose your wife, lose your children, if you can't ever be in the psychological wards under doctor care because this stress and this movement drove you crazy, then you wasn't part of this movement. You were an infiltrator of this movement, and you were no good to us. So we have neutralized the white man from being in the New Black Panther Party, but the white man works harder on sending Negroes into the New Black Panther Party to destroy it. And for every Panther chapter that has over 10 members, we already know that three of those members are agents of the government, or at least infiltrators and informants of the government. So, yes, sister, we got to be conscious of color in the New Black Panther Party, especially because of what I just said. But our enemies will soon, through God revealing the actions of that new revolutionary who's looking in the mirror, and the Bible say what you do in the closet will be taken to the rooftop. What you do in the dark, a candle will be put on and it will light up. And when we light your butt up, we're going to light your butt up, because the most important thing to the revolutionary is land. And land brings freedom and economic power, and it brings a nation. And we are nationalists, which means we want a nation of our own. And we will do, like Malcolm say, by any means necessary. When we leave this world, we're going to leave where our children will have land and a nation of their own by any means necessary, Brother Sean. And on that note, we'll take another call if we got one.
Yes, sir. We got a couple. All right, 502-356. You're on the air. National Chief of Staff, Black Power Radio. Your question, comment, Black Power.
Hey, how y'all doing, man? How you doing, Hashim?
Black Power.
Black Power. This is Kenyatta from Louisville, man. I don't know if you remember me, but man, you had talked about getting something going here in Louisville.
Yes, sir. I remember your voice.
Yeah, we was, you know, because I was telling you, you know, the brothers here, they pretty lost, man, and they really need, you know, I was impressed the way you spoke, you know, and I was saying it'd be good if they could hear that. You know, I still got dreams of that ever happening. You know what I'm saying? I ain't gave up on it yet. And I mean, you have to be able to do that.
You ain't got a dream, brother. We can make that a reality, brother, because right. I'm a vessel that Dr. Khaled built, and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz has gotten through vast ocean. And brother, anyway,
right.
And anywhere God can use me, that's where I want to be. So take my number, brother, which the white man messing with my phone right now, but it'll probably be on soon as the show go off, Brother Sean. But my phone number, brother, is 404.
Okay, let me write that
down. No problem. I'll give you a minute.
You said 404, what?
424-3560.
3560?
Yes, sir. 404-424-3560. Give me a call when this show is over.
Okay, I will give you a call. First chance I get, brother.
But anything we can do to help liberate our people.
Yeah. Right. You said something about Nappy Roots, right? Was that the ones you were talking about, the Rapture?
Yeah, I was just with them today. Yes, sir, I was. I mean, yeah, I was.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to do everything according to plan like we had talked about it first.
Well, call me when we get out there, and let's talk about that again.
Okay, I will call you when y'all get up there, then, brother. Black Power.
All right, Black Power.
All right, next caller. 973-592. You're on the air. Black Power Radio. Your question or comment? Black Power.
Yes, Black Power. This is Dashaun Farad, Washington D.C. Brother Hashim. Is President Obama doing a good job in handling race relations in the United States?
A great question, brother. I think Obama has done a great job at erasing the topic matter of race I don't think he deals with it in any form or fashion. I think he runs from it, hides from it, and he tries to make it invisible. And it's going to bite him in his butt in the end.
Thank you very much. Yes, I'm still here. Thank you, brother. Have a good night. Black Power. Okay. Yeah, I absolutely hate
with a passion the way he runs from the race question. He act like it don't exist. The race question, since the white man came on the shores of Virginia and Jamestown in so-called 1619, but we know in the 1555, and fought our native red man and the red woman, there's always been a race issue in America. You know, and like Lincoln said, if he could save the Union without freeing the slaves, he could do it. And right after that, the Klan, I mean, come on, man, Obama's out of his mind. If he sit there and take the black vote for granted and don't think we deserve, after lining up at them polls, an 80-year-old, 90-year-old, 100-year-old black people in that sun or that cold, lining up at them polls, and young people say they voted for the first time in their life, drug dealers leaving their corners going to vote, and black people in groves defending him when they call him coons and sambos. He think he can eat some peanuts and drink some beer at the White House on the White House lawn and forget about race relations. God is going to punish him if we don't do it first. And when I say we first, there's another election coming up. And he can't take the black man vote for granted and the black woman vote for granted. And before that election come up, we should organize and let him know we're dissatisfied how we feel he has totally, totally avoided the race issue and totally avoided what's going on with the minorities of the land, his own people, that he looks another direction and holds the teacup with two fingers. Go ahead, Brother Sean.
All right, we got about, really, we have, I'd say, 2 minutes left in the show. So at this point, Brother Nat Chief Staff, it's your closing comments, sir.
Yeah, I want to first of all say I want to thank you, Brother Sean, for hosting the show and being such a patient host with my phone being targeted, and I really truly believe it was targeted. But we outsmarted them once again like we always do. And I just want to say, as we look at the revolutionary in the mirror, if you're not happy with who you see, do something about it. And just remember there's an evolution of a revolutionary, and the evolution is our growth. And history proves if we fall down and get up, we can win. You know, history proves if we, Brother Sean, if we study to show ourselves approved, and if we get off our butt and do what we're supposed to do, we can get drugs out of our community. We can get death out of our community. We can change the music that go on in our community. We can control the politics of our community. Our grandmothers and great-grandmothers' hearts are broke because we don't deal with truth enough, and we don't set up preservation for our kids where we can survive this storm, man. We have powerful, powerful testaments that have went out in our history. In the 60s, the 40s, and the 30s, in the 1800s and the 1700s, man, we can do this. And I feel good, brother, and I feel like we got the right team. And I feel that the real Super Bowl will not be played in 2 weeks with the Green Bay Packers and the Pittsburgh Steelers. The real Super Bowl is in the streets of black America, and we have to win this game. We have to play our best players. And unfortunately, some people are going to be on the bench. We have to play our best players because we're playing against a society that's playing their best player. So I say to the young people who might be still up and listening, don't ever quit learning. Don't ever quit reading. Don't ever quit achieving. And I say to the older people who think they can stop learning the same thing. The smarter we are, the more we can get done. The united we are, the more we can get done. Look at the revolutionary in the mirror. Recommit yourself to the revolutionary struggle, the Black Power movement, the new Black Panther Party. God bless Khalid Muhammad's spirit as he turned 63 years old spiritually with us. And we beg our chairman, Malik Zulu Shabazz, and we wish him much success in his leadership of this new Black Panther Party going into 2011, bro.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, my dear brother, we thank you so much, Brother National Chief of Staff. We're at the end of the show now. And so if there's anything that you'd like to say on the end, now's the time.
I just want to say Black Power, brother, and we're ready for the revolution, as our great brother Kwame Ture would say.
Black Power and ready for the revolution. Thank you so much, Brother National Chief of Staff and Black Power. Dear family, that was the National Chief of Staff, Minister Hashim Nzinga, longtime veteran, soldier, warrior, and fighter in the liberation struggle of the Black nation. And so rewind the tape, rewind the broadcast, and get the jewels. And for those of you who appreciate our work and you appreciate the works of Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz and the new Black Panther Party, you email us at nbpphq@yahoo.com. That's nbpphq@yahoo.com. And be a part of the movement. Start a Black Power movement right where you are. Don't forget to look at the revolutionary in the mirror. Look at that man and that woman in the mirror. Do a checkup from the neck up, and let's do something for ourselves and our community. Until next time, that's Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll see you again for another edition for Black Power Radio. Black Power.
Done it. Oh, hell no, boy.
Y'all done up and done it.
Oh, no, hell no, man.
Y'all done up and done it.
Oh,
y'all done up and done it, man. Y'all done up and done it.
My first song was like 48 bars
with
no hook.
You
hear
me flipping through my pages out my favorite notebook.
The microphones in the closet.
What?
No headphones, we lost it. Niggas scared to get some water. Roaches hanging over the faucet.
Come on.
No AC. There's a break of bread. Just trying to make beats. E-double's been the hustle. Yeah. Work with all the customers and flat broke. Nappy smoking black.